That was My Hope for You from A Spot on the Hills Patterns. I'd like to report on the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. Three games were on tap for June 8th. The Eugene Emeralds edged the host Tri-City Dust Devils 3-2 at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. The visitors, Hillsboro Hops, jumped the Spokane Indians with four runs in the top of 10th to win 9-6 at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. And the Vancouver Canadiens stunned the host Everett Aqua Sox with three runs in the top of the 9th. Highlighted by Jamari Baylor's two-run home run off Juan Burgos, which gave Vancouver an 8-7 lead and became the final score at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. On June 9th, Spokane thumped Hillsboro 8-0. Eugene cheated Tri-City 3-2 with two runs in the top of 9th, and Vancouver jumped Everett 8-3. There were three venue changes on June 11th. Hillsboro shaded the visitors Tri-City 3-2 at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon. The host Eugene thumped Everett 11-2 at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. And the visitors Spokane shaded Vancouver 1-0 in Rogers Field at Nat Bailey in Vancouver, BC. On June 12th, Hillsboro quad damaged Tri-City 4-1. Everett quintupled Eugene 5-1, and Spokane thumped Vancouver 9-1. On June 13th, Hillsboro walked off Tri-City 5-4 in 10 innings. Alberta treated Eugene 3-2, and Spokane quad-damaged Vancouver 4-1. Four games are on tap today with one final. Game 1 between Spokane and Vancouver was won by Spokane as the Indians shaded the Canadians 4-3. Along with other doubleheader games, this game went just 7 innings. After Game 1, the Indians and Canadians will play Game 2, followed by Everett and Eugene at 6:35 and followed by Everett in Eugene at 6:35 and Tri-City in Hillsboro at 7:05. All times are Pacific.
Did you know that BC's natural ecosystem is one of the most biologically diverse regions in Canada? Indigenous communities have stewarded these lands for millennia and maintained a significant relationship with the natural world. Many of their practices, such as sustainable resource management and knowledge of ecological environments, continues to shape conservation efforts in this province. Come to the next Science World Spotlight on Wednesday, June 19th, between 6 and 9:30 p.m. for a thought-provoking panel discussion on the connections between Indigenous worldviews and contemporary environmental challenges. Head over to Science World's website to find out more.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the first half. The Spokane Indians are first at 34-23 as an affiliate of the Colorado Rockies. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, are second at 31-27. The Hillsboro Hawks, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are third at 30-28. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are 4-28-31. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, are 5th at 26-30. And the Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, are last at 24-34.
Kick off summer at the intersection of community, culture, and sport at the Concord Pacific Dragon Boat Festival. Experience the continent's best dragon boat racing, headliner music shows including acts Hey Ocean and Manila Gray, a cultural pavilion and demonstrations, local marketplace and food vendors, and all kinds of family-friendly activities. The festival takes place on June 22nd and June 23rd at False Creek and has free entry.
Welcome back. The fifth group is Lucas Davies' Town. The tune is When You're Mine.
Don't wake me up. I don't think it's time yet. There's a voice calling out from the dead, saying don't trap yourself in your head. But don't bring it up. I don't think I've moved on. And they're asking how I ever lived. Without you, it's like I never did. Watching the stars, thinking I'll never make it that far. But I just wanna know where you are, and I'll be alright. Passion beneath all the skin, but I pull back when hardship begins. I don't want to pretend that I'll be alright. Had your face in the back of my mind. I but I miss when you're mine. Don't say we're done. Don't think I could take that. And I know this will hurt in the end, but I promise I'll find you again. I don't wanna breathe. It's not the air I need. It's the moments that keep me afloat, and the fear that I don't wanna show.
I'd like to shift gears to the Western Lacrosse Association at this time. It is an amateur league of men's Senior A box lacrosse, with many playing in the Professional National Lacrosse League every winter. On June 8th, the host Coquitlam Adirondacks bested the Nanaimo Timbermen in a 10-9 barn burner at Poirier Sports Center. On June 9th, the Maple Ridge Barrage edged the New West Salmon Bellies in a 13-12 slugfest at Planet Ice Cam Neely Arena. That's in Maple Ridge. On June 12th, the visitors Coquitlam frightened the Thunder 11-5 at Langley Event Center. Two games are on tap tonight. Maple Ridge visits Victoria at the Q Center in Colwood at 6:45, while Burnaby hosts New West at 7 p.m. Here are the current standings in the Western Lacrosse Association. Much like the BC Junior A Lacrosse, 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for a tie. I would imagine an OTL loss probably gets 1 point as well. The Victoria Shamrocks are first at 5-0, 10 points. The New West Salmon Bellies are second at 6 points. The Coquitlam Adirondacks, the New West Salmon Bellies are 3-1 for 6 points, 750 winning percentage. The Coquitlam Adirondacks are third at 3-4, 6 points, with a 429 winning percentage. Yet the Burnaby Lakers, for some reason, are listed fourth at 3-2, which is 6 points, but a 600 winning percentage. So chances are the Burnaby Lakers are actually third. The Maple Ridge Barrards are fifth at 2-3, 4 points, 400 winning percentage. The Nanaimo Timbermen are fourth at 1-3 for 2 points, 250 winning percentage, and the Langley Thunder are last at 1-5 with a 167 winning percentage at just 2 points.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
The Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city, for over the last 6 years. The then mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15th. 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke did not give up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th, as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36-2023, Police Amendment Act 2023, where our key change is, municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26th. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the Administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched its second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. On January 25th, 2024, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30, 2023. With the SPS having deployed 215 officers at the time, $141.5 million were requested, 42% of the policing funds available, at a total of $337 million. 480 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526. 67% of all Surrey police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's targeted number at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assumed the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, during a press conference later on, said if Surrey doesn't agree, the Director of Police Services will make a decision based on submissions from the city and police. On April 4th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, introduced further amendments to the BC Police Act to municipal police management, where local governments with municipal police forces can choose one representative each. Members of each local police board can elect chair and vice chair. Currently, the mayor of each municipality with their own police force is the chair, except Surrey, as Farnworth removed Brenda Locke last November due to allegations of her obstructing the Surrey Police Service. Also, the Police Complaint Commissioner can call public hearings during misconduct investigations, do systemic reviews, and lead investigations into police complaint causes, contributing factors, as part of Bill 17. On April 9th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told reporters in the BC Legislature that Surrey actually approached the BC government in January, revealed the additional offer to be $100 million over 5 years, to a total of $250 million over the next decade, and the deadline at 4 p.m. However, Surrey rejected the offer shortly after 3 p.m., less than an hour to the deadline, according to a BC government press release, where Farnworth also responded that $150 million will be used to complete the transition. On April 23rd, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced the Surrey Police Service will become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29, 2024. There will be no federal or provincial legislative changes required. RCMP and SPS officers will work under a collaborative agreement and will provide a Surrey to end the Municipal Police Unit Agreement, i.e. Surrey RCMP. The SPS chief, Norm Lipinski, added that he'll ramp up hiring. Dwayne McDonald, the RCMP deputy commissioner, acknowledged work between the Federal Public Safety Ministry, the Federal Public Ministry and provincial government, and the RCMP will provide assistance until the transition completes, where the BC RCMP officers will be working with the SPS. On April 29th, the BC NDP government and Surrey squared off in the BC Supreme Court in Vancouver on Surrey's legal challenge against the BC government directing the city to continue with the SPS, presided by the Justice Kevin Liu. On May 3rd, the five-day hearing between Surrey and the BC NDP government on the latter directing the city to continue with the SPS concluded. During the final submissions, according to Tom Zatarak of Surrey Now Leader, the Surrey City lawyer Craig Dennis said, the BC government directing Surrey to continue with the SPS was done without studying its impacts. Trevor Brandt, the BC government lawyer, countered with the following. While the Minister Mike Farnworth is sensitive to the cost of the SPS, his ultimate responsibility is to ensure adequate and effective level of policing throughout BC, as he concluded that Surrey's plan was not safe. The $75 million difference between the Surrey RCMP and SPS was based on apples and oranges, 734 Surrey RCMP officers versus 900 SPS. Craig Dennis, the Surrey City lawyer, responded to Band by saying Farnworth's power was to, quote, merely approve or not Surrey's plan to keep the RCMP, thus Farnworth exceeded his jurisdiction, end quote. Also on May 3rd, the SPS welcomed 12 new recruits who will train in the Justice Institute of British Columbia. On May 6th, during a Surrey City Council meeting, the city's General Manager Cam Graywell said there would have been no tax increase without the SPS, where the budget with the Surrey RCMP is $221.5 million, with a difference of $33.5 million, a 7% tax increase from 1% on roads and 6% on general tax increase. The fourth and final approval for Surrey's 2024 budget, which included 26 bylaw approvals, was passed along the party lines, where Mayor Brenda Locke and her Surrey Connect councillors voted for, with four other councillors against, according to Tom Zatarak of Surrey Now Leader. On May 13th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke gave another press release on the Surrey City website, also announced on Twitter. Based on Section 27, Subsection 3.1 of the BC Police Act, added on April 25th, 2024, where any municipality with a municipal board can object to any part of its budget, to the Municipal Police Board and Director of Police Services by May 15th. Locke continued that Surrey will uphold its budget, passed on May 6th at $221.5 million, $37 million lower than the SPS and Surrey RCMP's proposed budgets, which will fund more than the joint strength, the SPS and Surrey RCMP of 785 officers at a property tax increase of 7%. On May 23rd, the BC Supreme Court Justice Kevin Liu rejected Surrey's petition against the BC government in directing the city to continue with the SPS, upheld amendments to the BC Police Act, which mandates Surrey to continue with the SPS, and Surrey can fund the SPS, as the Justice Liu estimated the SPS will cost $30 to $75 million more per year, between $50 to $120 per Surrey resident, thus rejecting all of Surrey's three arguments. And okay, let's just see. Now, fast forward to this week. On June 10th, in the latest Surrey City Council meeting, the Mayor Brenda Locke announced that she accepted the BC Supreme Court decision, which ruled against Surrey's judicial reviews against the BC government in directing the city to continue with the SPS, according to multiple outlets. However, Locke still insisted the SPS isn't in the best interest for Surrey residents. We'll need to find out how much more the municipal police force will cost compared to the RCMP, including reviewing the Deloitte report, where the 734 SPS versus RCMP officers would be an annual difference of $30 million, with the SPS being higher. But Locke kept pointing out to the $75 million difference, which is between 734 RCMP and and 900 SPS officers. However, the Deloitte report didn't account for the RCMP's 8% pay bump, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun. Locke also said she would ask Surrey's city manager Rob Costanzo to gather up experts who would work between the BC federal government, SPS, Surrey Police Board, and RCMP on planning requirements, on top of working with the council over the summer to expedite the process. Also, when the mayor Locke calls meetings, she expects, quote, the province, the SPS, their executives, and Surrey Police Board to do likewise, end quote, according to Tom Satarag of Surrey Now Leader. On June 11th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, welcomed Locke's acceptance of the SPS, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun, when the SPS provided another release on their website, which said it will be deploying 9 additional experienced officers from municipal and RCMP forces this week, with 225 officers deployed onto Surrey streets in 8 different units, with 367 sworn officers and 60 civilian employees, for a total of 427 employees, where its Twitter link on June 11th said 9 additional experienced officers were deployed that day. On June 13th, Rob Shaw explained a recent letter from Dominic LeBlanc, the federal public safety minister, to Mike Farnworth, BC's public safety minister and solicitor general, on Northern Beat. In the letter, LeBlanc envisions, quote, the end state for federal policing that is separate from the RCMP's contract policing, end quote. The federal government as a whole also want to honor its contract policing obligations today and 2032. However, David Eby, the BC premier, told Shaw the letter was confusing, as if the federal government wants to continue with the RCMP's contract policing, quote, we need to have certainty from them in how they are going to address the vacancies, end quote. On the other hand, Mike Farnworth, BC's public safety minister and solicitor general, told Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun that while any decision in creating a provincial police force won't be for a while, he expects the RCMP to police the province for a long time and welcome the RCMP in creating a federal police force.
A Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be. Featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee, Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
Thank you for listening to episode 22. And thank you for listening to episode 22 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. Sorry. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is the voice of the North.
Hello, this is Kelly from the Peak Publication Society, SFU student-led newspaper. Recently, news organizations have been facing issues sharing news content. All news outlets, including small publications like us, have been affected due to Meta's refusal to comply with the Online News Act and compensate news companies. We have been serving our diverse student community for years and need your support to continue. If you'd like to contribute as a paid writer, illustrator, or photographer, follow us on Instagram at thepeak at SFU. Keep reading our stories at the-peak.ca. If Meta is listening, we're just a community promoting SFU events. Please don't block us again.